This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the June 22nd edition of Invest Talk. It is Thursday. I hope you have a good day. Above average investing for the average investor is what we do here. The whole idea is to provide you some added perspective. We try to sort the real truth from the hype and the noise. That's what we try to do. It's difficult sometimes. You know, sometimes the truth gets hidden in a lot of speculation and hype. So we try to avoid all that. So when you contribute your voice, of course, the whole thing works much better because it's of interest to you and others like you. So good questions are questions you need answers to, and everybody wants to hear them. So I try to help out as best I can. Many of our calls are about stocks that have caught your eye one way or another, companies that you think show good promise. Here are some of the factors we look at when you call and that you can use when selecting an investment. They don't all apply to every company, but here's just some ground rules. Number one, first, the company has to be making money. If it doesn't make money, it's not a real company yet. It has to be making money at some point. You can't not make money year after year after year. I don't care. It doesn't work. Eventually, you'll go out of business. You always look at the debt. How much debt do they have? Some companies live on debt, so it doesn't necessarily mean you have to have low debt or no debt. Banks have debt all the time. They borrow and they lend. That's what they do. How much does the management own? We like to see some ownership by that management, something more than just a tiny little fraction. If they have a lot of money tied up in their own company they're running, it focuses their attention. There has to be institutional interest. In other words, mutual funds or hedge funds, someone's got to be buying it that are big and they influence the price often. So you've got to have some of that in there. Look for rising business sectors with relative strengths higher than other relative strengths, and relative strengths of a company inside its own sector is higher than the average in its sector. You know, if you're choosing, we also like to see sales or earnings growing. Okay, growth. We want growth. There should always be some kind of growth, and growth in the last couple of years, not just the last quarter or two, but, you know, that's if you're looking for a growth company. If you're looking for a dividend-paying company, well, that's the focus you should have. Can they pay the dividend? Can they afford it? Can they raise a dividend? How often have they raised it over the years? Have they been consistent in their earnings? Everything you look at is a little bit different, you know, depending on what kind of stock you're looking at. Now, today we're going to spend a few minutes during the hour talking about the issue that's not new. Should Social Security invest in stocks? You know that by law they can't, right? Well, we'll explore that idea a little bit more. So what many questions do you have? Well, we want to get to the phones in a minute, but what questions do you have? Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime line. We are live 4 to 5 Pacific time. So let's take this particular question before the program started.
Steve and Justin, love the show. I had a sector related question for you. I'm looking to play either the financials or biotech for a swing trade over the next 12 weeks or so, with Trump evidently loosening regulations on biotech and healthcare stocks. Thought this might be an opportunity versus the IBB versus the XLF financials with interest rates slowly rising. So wanted to do an ETF for diversification and for safety if I'm on the wrong side of the trade, but wanted to get you guys' take. Thanks a lot.
Okay, biotech, it shot up the last 3 or 4 days, so might be a bit late for that if you're trying to catch it on this rise. It has broken out. Usually when it goes up this fast in this short a period of time, like from 293 to 320 in 5 days, at some point it gives some of that back. Half that back is normal. So it has gotten a lot of attention already, and I'd be a little concerned chasing it. I don't like chasing things, and I don't think I would chase it. And that's one of the things Trump is trying to do, or is may be successful, may not, is try to reduce regulation, and that would help the banking sector because there was a lot of regulation on that sector. But that was true when he got elected. Now that he's been around, that story and that theory has been around so long, I think you wait for a big pullback in that sector before you go into it. And are you going to get a big pullback? Maybe not. You know, what if he passes certain legislation? What if he gets the legislation passed? You know, then it will be too late and it just runs and you have to look elsewhere. Ideas always happen all the time. You can, you don't have to settle on one idea. Matter of fact, you shouldn't. You should develop ideas all the time. And you are going to miss things. Up, when they go up, you're going to miss them. You don't want to chase them, but you're going to miss them. It just happens. Pension funds do it. Insurance companies do it. So why doesn't Social Security systems? Why should, other countries do it. Why wouldn't our Social Security system invest in our stock market? So should they? That's the question. That's one of our main talking points today. Things that kill bull markets. What's going to kill this bull market? Things that kill them. Let's talk about that. I have four things that kind of puts a kibosh on them. Are Americans doing better or worse when they're preparing for retirement than other major competitor, our counterparts around the world, Western Europe, Japan, Australia? There's been a couple of surveys. Do Americans do better than foreigners in preparing for retirement? Very interesting question. And did you see the leading economic indicator report that came out? LEI, I think it's something we should talk about. I talk about it every so often. I want to talk about it again. And what did it show this week? Remember, it comes out every month. What is it made of? And what did it show this week? And is it telling us anything? Those are your talking points. Those are what we're going to discuss, unless, of course, you ask questions, and we'll talk with you always first. Always, always, always. The Dow was down 13. The NASDAQ was up 3. The S&P down 1. So it was a slightly down day. It was much more positive during the day, and it just got weaker and weaker. Nothing major happening as the day went on. It just got a little bit weaker, a little bit weaker. So, we've talked about the market. There's got to be some kind of catalyst to drive it up again some more. I don't see it yet where that catalyst is going to come from. I mean, obviously it could come from Washington, but maybe it's going to come from better earnings. I mean, this is the last month of the quarter, so we'll start getting earnings next month in a couple, 3 weeks. Start seeing the second quarter earnings. I think they're going to be interesting. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Let's work together to clear up some investing misconceptions, like United States government bonds are risk-free. Are they? Investing is only for wealthy people. Really? It's a good way to make quick money. Quick money? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART is how you reach us right now. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Dan in Pennsylvania. How are you doing, Dan?
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I am good. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking the call. I have a question about Frontier Communications, FTR. Mm-hmm. I know you're not crazy about stocks with high debt, and it is a small cap, but I was thinking about getting in for the short term. It does pay a high dividend.
I see that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take you're speculating on it because it's such a low price stock.
Yeah, that, and it looks like they just acquired some more communications in Florida and California, and I'm thinking it might go up a little bit.
Okay, this is Frontier Communications, everybody. It's a $1.3 billion company. It is a small cap. Provides local exchange, long distance internet, network access, data services to rural communities in 28 states. It has a lot of debt, as Dan pointed out. It doesn't make money, which, distresses me a little bit. It does a lot of sales, and sales growth has increased sharply this most recent quarter, and recent year. I mean, we're talking about $2.3 billion a quarter, and the whole company's worth only $1.3 billion. So sales, price to sales ratio is very, very, very low. It's $1.12. The stock is selling for $1.12. A year ago, it was about $4 a share, $4.50, somewhere in there. Why is it so low? Why has the stock price gone down, down, down? Well, because it's increasing its debt load, and it's not making any money. So the question you asked, Dan, is this is a pretty, first of all, let me state that it's a pretty high-risk play. It's a pretty high-risk play. So the question you asked, is this company going to make it? I mean, are they going to survive? That cash flow is $1.76. Does that pay for the debt? I mean, is that enough money to carry the debt? And I will say this. The sales growth is doing very well, maybe because of acquisitions. But it's a good stock to speculate, Dan. But I have to warn you, this is a speculate. This is not an investment. You're speculating. You're going to roll the dice. It might work because it has great sales increase numbers. That dividend is not worth anything. 14% yield on dividend. They can't maintain that. They don't make any money. They're not going to make money this year. They're not going to make money next year. But they're going to lose less money next year. So I don't think you should worry about the dividend. You're not going to get any of that. But I do think it has a shot of rising to a couple bucks a share. I do. Okay?
Okay. I really appreciate that, Steve. Thank you very much.
And for everybody else, a couple dollars a share is like an 80% return. You know, that it's speculation for a huge possible gain. But you do it with a little bit of money, you're guessing, you're gambling. This is one of those kind of investments. Let's go to John. He's also in Pennsylvania. How are you doing, John?
Good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm calling about to get your thoughts on ticker symbol PPL, PPL Corporation. It seems like it's just been going up, 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 up. I mean, utilities has been a pretty good place to be, I guess, this year. But, you know, as soon as it keeps going up, it looks a little toppy, and then you start hearing all these positive things, and then, you know, and now you see a little pullback. It's still above the 50-day moving average, but I'm just wondering your thoughts.
Okay,
I should be a little worried about it.
Do you own it right now, John?
I do, yeah.
Okay, this is a utility company, a very stable utility company. It pays a 4% dividend. And from a long-term point of view, it's not that overpriced, even after it's gone up nicely from the low 30s to the high 30s, $39.02 in the last few months. It's a holding company engaged in electric generation, PPL Corporation, symbols PPL. So it has very good, solid numbers. It's going to make $2.33 next year. As I said, 4% dividend. Its cash flow is huge at almost $4 a share. Sales growth, just remember, utility companies aren't designed to grow. They're designed to throw off a lot of earnings and dividends. And I think you hold on to this one. I think that's a 4% dividend. What else are you gonna? Let me do it this way. What else are you gonna put that money to make 4% a year on with very little risk? You have some risk, but not that much. It's hard to find a place. Right. It's hard to find a good company that pays you 4% dividend. I like it. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. I'm glad you're investing with this hour with me. I appreciate it. 888-99-CHART. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Dan in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Dan?
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you. I actually had two stock symbols. If you just have time for one, I'll give you one.
One, please.
One of them was Owens Corning. I just bought yesterday. I wonder if I should add to it. And the other was Advanced Auto Parts, AAP, I think is a symbol, which is a value really been beaten down. I just wonder whether I should run from that or...
Okay. Let's look at Owens Corning for you. Manufactures building materials and glass fiber reinforcements for industrial, commercial, and consumer markets. It acquired this year Pittsburgh Corning for $500 million, which is a decent purchase for the So I think that adds to them. They are growing both earnings and sales. Earnings growing 11% a year, $4.03 this year, $4.47 next year to $66 stock. Sales grew 20% in the most recent quarter. That is a lot for a $7.4 billion company. I mean, a year ago, they were growing in the single digits, and this year, they're growing in the low double digits on average. So they've stepped it up, and they had a lot of insider buying for most of last year. Lots of insider buying. So they kind of anticipated this, which is kind of interesting. If you have a full position, I probably wouldn't buy more because even though it's not over, it's not that expensive. If you don't have a full position, you could fill up your position. It's at a new 52-week high. I mean, but the numbers support it. So I wouldn't be afraid of it at this point. You know, that little week on the return on equity of 11%, well, I'd like to see that in the teens, but that's still really good cash flow. Pays a small dividend, 1.2, so that's not great. But the sales growth is pretty impressive, Dan, and it's translating to earnings growth. So I kind of like it.
Thank you.
So if you don't have a full position, I'd put on a full position. I would.
You would, okay.
Yeah. Dan, appreciate
Thanks
the call.
For all
Thank you very much.
Yeah, do you have time for a second? Okay.
We'll have to catch up. Well, maybe if you can call tomorrow, I'll pick it up tomorrow. I'll be happy to do that.
I'll try the other one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, real quick, everybody, we've got to get to our talking point today. Should Social Security invest money in stocks? Right now, the law says they can't. They cannot. They have to buy long-term treasury. Now, should they? You know, Japan does it. Other European countries do it. But the problem is do you really, this is the issue. Do you want a government body to own private industry stocks and have some kind of influence because of their ownership? What if they decide to own 50%? Do we want to do that? Is that a good idea? Now, I think it could be a good idea if you control it. In other words, as long as the ownership isn't more than maybe 10% of any one company. I mean, there's things you could do. You don't have to do with all the money, and I would not. But I think it's a good idea because it's a good, remember, they've taken our money. It's your money they have. They take it right out of your paycheck. They're taking your money, and they're going to give it back to us in the form of retirement benefits, Social Security, at some point. If I had my druthers, I'd rather them not take it out. But, you know, let me keep my own money. But that's not how it works. So let's say they take it out. Wouldn't you want them to do the smart thing with that money? Right now, I wish they would just earmark it for Social Security, but they also spend it on non-Social Security kind of things. And that's one of the reasons why it's always in trouble. Not the reason, everybody, but one of the reasons. But maybe they can increase. Look at how low the return is on treasuries. So the money that they have sitting there making very low return in treasuries. And I'm not suggesting that 90%, 80%, 90% move away from treasuries. You should stay there. But maybe some risk-taking, some solid risk-taking, some good money management would get us a couple of percentage more. That would go a long way to saving Social Security. You know, without having to raise premiums or whatever, cut benefits. I think that, man, it's got to be a long-term type of long investment, not something short. So just do it with a little bit of the money, not a lot, but money that you can leave there for a while. I think it's a sound idea. And as long as you have protections in place, where they don't unduly influence the stock market or a particular company, where they're not allowed to buy fly-by-night companies, high-risk kind of situations. You have to have those kinds of protections in place. But why not do it with some of the money? Some people are extremely opposed to this idea. Some people are very pro this idea. It's been out there for president after president after president had been out there, but no one seemed to do anything about it. We're talking about there's no movement one way or another. They just talk about it every so often, and then do nothing. I really think it should be done. Now, I don't want to be like, you know, China, where they own 50% of almost all their big companies. I think that's wrong. But, you know, owning small portions of various sector, big blue chip kind of companies, I'm okay with it. Paying just the dividends are 4%. You can get about 4% dividends. Better than Treasury, U.S. Treasury. Anyways. Do you know how much risk you're taking right now with your own money, your retirement portfolio? Do you know? Take the first step to find out. You can do it. We take the test. It's really easy. It takes only a few minutes. Go to investtalk.com, the risk test.
Our podcast continues next on Invest Talk. One of the KPP financial solutions that help solve today's retirement puzzles is waiting for you. How do you get the income you need in retirement without the kind of risk that you just don't feel comfortable with? KPP Financial has a whole catalog of investment programs suited for today's investment climate and designed to suit your real-life situation today. Would you like to know more about the Balanced Income Program, for example? You can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts or ask Steve directly about it. Just click on Contact Steve on investtalk.com and your note will go directly to him and he'll answer your question. The Balanced Income Program is one solution from KPP Financial. And now let's get back to the podcast. Let's continue with Invest Talk for this Thursday, June 22nd. Financial advisor Steve Peasley is ready for your money question right now at 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Will in San Diego. How you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. Before we get to my ticker symbol, I would like to ask you a question regarding PE.
Sure.
A lot of times, they list the trailing PE and the forward PE. I would like to know which is more important. Which should I pay attention to?
The forward PE. Always the forward PE. Ignore the trailing PE. Not telling you.
Oh, okay.
It's the forward PE. Now you also want to know what the average PE is in the sector that you're in. You know, since with an oil sector. What's their average PE? You know, the average PE of the whole market, the S&P 500, 80% of the market, is about 15. So that's the whole market. But each sector,
right?
High growth sectors have a lot higher PEs than low growth sectors. They're a lot lower.
Right.
Okay.
I noticed that probably in real estate investment trusts, you rarely see anything, you know, on a low PE basis. They're all way up there, it seems.
Yeah, and historically, they should not be, by the way, just letting you know. But they are right now because everybody's reaching for the yields, you know, the dividend yields. Everybody wants those
right.
yields badly. And so they've driven up a lot of prices in the REIT sector. So be very careful over there. Don't necessarily avoid them, Will, but just be very careful.
Right. Now, I'm looking at an article that states that Goldman Sachs has recently, gave a neutral rating to ConocoPhillips, and they're suggesting that your money would be better spent in either Chevron or Suncor Energy or Canadian Natural Resources. So my question is, should I be getting out of it because of the drop in oil prices?
Well, have you noticed, Will, that we're going to have to, and the whole oil industry is going to have to get used to lower oil prices in the
right.
$30 to $60 range. It's going to be that way long term because we have plenty of oil around the world and not enough growth to soak it up. And our U.S. demand U.S. demand for gasoline has actually gone down the last 10 years, not up. So the companies are all over, all the oil companies are just going to have to get used to and be able to survive in an environment where oil prices are not going to go up like they used to. they're going to fluctuate, but they're not going to go up, you know, in $100 a barrel.
Right.
It's just not happening for the foreseeable future. So ConocoPhillips is trying to adjust to that, and I think they're doing a decent job. I really do. Their earnings are going to skyrocket next year after suffering for the last couple, 3 years. Okay? And that means they're going to earn $1.96 a share in 2018, almost $2 a share and a $44 stock. That means the PE is, what, 22? So it's not cheap, even based on that great earnings. It's still not cheap. But sales have finally turned around after almost 2 years of sales shrinking. And when I say turn around, the most recent quarter was a 55% increase in sales. So I wouldn't necessarily, if you, how long have you had it, Will?
Oh, I've had it probably about 3 or 4 years now.
I don't think I'd be anxious to get rid of it. I would not.
Okay.
But I'll tell you this. I like Chevron, ExxonMobil, and some of the bigger guys just as well or better. I'll admit to that. But I don't think ConocoPhillips is not as, you know, I can easily see it going back up to the $50, $60, and here's that $44. I can see it going up there fairly easy. Meanwhile, you're...
Oh, okay. You know, I was just paying attention because, you know, it was Goldman Sachs that rendered this opinion, and I guess when they speak, you ought to listen to them, I guess.
Yeah, well, I always love when the experts downgrade something and everybody's on the bandwagon and downgrade it, and it's a good, solid company. That's why I kind of like to buy them, because usually that means the stock has been beaten down. And that's when, you know, they get cheap. And that's, I'm not saying that ConocoPhillips is cheap. I just think I think you don't have any pressure to sell it if you don't want to sell it.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
okay.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Things that will kill the bull market. We've been in a bull market for many years now, right? Things will kill it. What? And these are general things that generally kill bull markets. One of them, of course, is recessions. Now, pay very close attention. 7 out of the last 13 bear markets have not led to or been involved with a recession. So a bear market can develop, in other words, a bull market can get killed without a recession. But every recession results in a bear market. So every time you have a recession, the market gets in a bear market. That means it goes down 20% or more. Okay? So that's one, recessions. The Fed, the Federal Reserve, every time they raise rates and it's prolonged, they eventually turn the bull market into a bear market. Now, no one tells you exactly when. And right now, the Fed is on a rate raising pattern. It's not, it's slow, but it's still on rising rates. We know that. Something that's more likely in the more short term. Large tech, big tech companies have shot up extremely high in the last few years and are way overvalued. That could lead to a bear market. We've seen a lot more volatility in that sector, have we not, in the last few weeks, month or two? Huge market days up or down every so often in the big tech stocks. That could lead to a bear market. And finally, war. Some kind of conflict. What if crazy North Korea decides to let off some bombs? A bomb, a nuclear, who knows? What if something happens, you know, in the always hot spot Middle East that drags Israel into a war with Iran, maybe? What do you think would happen to the market? See, but it's got to be big. It can't be just, you know, the little things that are going on now. It's got to be a war. It's got to be a war that would definitely drive our stock market down. Doesn't have to be a war with us or us being involved in it. Those are four major things that cause bear markets. Maybe it's time to push the reset button, start fresh. One of the services we provide to a limited number of our listeners is a free checkup. I set aside dates for these retirement portfolio reviews each month. If you're not within range of our California offices, I can meet with you via telephone or Skype. Either way, it's easy to arrange. It's a first-come, first-serve kind of thing to meet me in person. To save your time with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab, then Portfolio Review.
The biggest knock on the country's most popular retirement savings program is that it doesn't give you enough good choices and it's too cumbersome to make changes. Well, this may be the solution to the 401k shortcomings. It's called Active 401k. This program from KPP Financial analyzes your employer's plan and makes recommendations. It's like having your own investment advisor. Find out more about it. Click on the Investment tab on investtalk.com.
Hi, this is Bruce from New York. I've been buying individual stocks for about 7 years and attribute much of my success to the lessons I've learned from the both of you. I just experienced something that has me baffled. I recently bought a $2 billion market cap value stock whose chart and fundamentals were pretty good. I read everything I could find out about them. On no new news, the stock just kept going down. In general, at what point does an investor give up in the absence of any news? If you could you discuss strategies that you use to prevent larger losses other than the use of stops? I never had any good experience with stops. Thanks very much. Love your show.
Well, it's difficult. There's absolutely no news, but if a stock goes down and is consistently going down on no news, somebody knows something somewhere. I've never seen that happen without somebody knowing something somewhere. For many people, one of the methods, of besides having a stop to sell in a stock, is that it doesn't do what you thought it would do. And you wrote down the reasons why you thought it would go up. Because people buy a stock, they always think it's going to go up. So what were your reasons why you think it was going to go up? Were the sales increasing? Was the stock underpriced? Was they had a new technology? Or did they buy a new company? You had a reason. If the reason is I heard somebody else recommend it, that's a terrible reason. And if you're buying a stock that way, you're not going to make any money. But if the reason that you bought the stock turns out not to be happening, in other words, something came along and, you thought this new technology was going to drive this earnings up, and this new technology is not catching on, the earnings are not going up 6 months later, and you thought it would happen, that's a reason to get out of the stock. Because what you thought would happen didn't happen. Okay, so there's going to be something. If the stock is falling, there's always something. It could be the whole sector. It may not be that company specific. And that's always difficult. It may be that sector is suffering because of something happening there. And it's just part of the sector. The company itself might be fine. I wish it was easy, Bruce. And you probably realize this after doing it for the years that you've been doing it. That it's just never easy. It's just not. Okay, let's go to Dan in San Diego. How you doing, Dan? Or do we already talk to Dan?
Good. How about you, Steve? You doing okay?
Yeah, good. How you doing?
Good. I'm calling about SNR. It's in the healthcare area. And it IPO'd about 2 years ago.
Okay.
It hasn't got positive earnings yet, but the last three earnings report has beaten the analysts. And since October of last year, it's had higher highs and higher lows. I'm wondering if this might be a time to, dip a toe in, or if it's a little too early yet. If they turn a profit, I think it might be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think you're too early. I don't think you're too early. I think this is where I buy it. I buy it right here, right? It's at $9.97. It's above all its moving averages. It moved off from $9.20 a couple, 3 weeks ago, slowly. This, by the way, everybody's new senior investment group, SNR. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that acquires and owns and manages 154 senior housing properties in 37 states. I like the sector a lot, Dan, so I'm prejudiced on this sector.
Okay.
It has a very strong dividend. It's low price to earnings. I show earnings going to be $1.21 this year and $1.25 next year on a $9 stock, almost a $10 stock. On a $10 stock, that's huge.
Yeah.
And that means that PE is below 10. And, yeah, I think this is where you buy it. I do.
I can't see how they're covering the dividend, though. They've had negative earnings for the last three quarters, although they're getting less negative.
Yeah, well, I can see that, but the cash flow is $1.46. If they're going to pay, they're going to make $1.25. 10% of $9 is 90 cents. And as a
right.
REIT, as a REIT, they have to pay 90% out of their earnings in the form of a dividend. I think that 10% might just hold up. It might just hold up. The big worry here, Dan, is the debt. There's a lot of debt because they've been acquiring things. So
The debt now, assets to debt is 0.8, 80%, which doesn't seem too awfully terrible.
Yeah, but that'd be my only concern. But that's how REITs grow. They take on debt. I don't think you should fear it too much. I think it's as you pointed out, higher highs, higher lows. I think this is where you get it. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. SNR is Assemble Everybody, Senior Housing Investment. I mean, remember, always never buy too much of any one stock in your portfolio. We at KPP, our normal is 3%. So we would have our fully invested 33 stocks. That would be normal for us. Now, sometimes we have cash. Sometimes we have, hedges. I mean, those kinds. But that rarely do we go to 5% of any one position. So just try to remember that. No matter how good it looks, you still want to hedge your bets. You want to manage the risk in your portfolio. I've said that for many, many years now. But that is really kind of important, managing the risk in your portfolio. You could be doing really, really well for long periods of time and all of a sudden crash and lose all those gains because you didn't manage the risk in your portfolio. Well, that's key. So did you see the leading economic indicator report? Up 0.3% for May. The long-term average, by the way, on the LEI, leading economic indicator, is 0.2. And I mentioned this before, but it is a gauge of 10 leading indicators, not lagging indicators, leading indicators. One of those indicators is the market itself, the S&P 500. But these are leading economic indicators like unemployment claims, weekly unemployment claims, like building permits. These are leading economic indicators, trying to figure out what's going to happen in the next 3-6 months. And what the LEI pointed to is that we have a pretty steady economy coming up and maybe even gain a little bit of strength. So it's telling us. You're listening to Invest Talk. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Austin. Love your show. Thanks for doing it. I had a question about Enterprise Products Partners, EPD. It's been down lately, and the dividend is pretty good. I've been slowly dollar cost averaging in, but I'm worried that oil and natural gas prices may stay low for a pretty long time. Just want to get your thoughts about it. Thanks very much.
I agree. As we talked about earlier, I think they will stay low a long time. Gas and natural gas and oil prices, they're just going to stay low. So companies, the whole industry is adjusting. And I think they're doing a pretty good job adjusting, by the way. EPD, it's a Master Limited Partnership. Whenever you hear me say MLP, Master Limited Partnership, always think in terms of, okay, tax issues. There's going to be tax issues. Master Limited Partner engaged in natural gas, liquid fractionations, transportation, storage, import and export terminals. You buy this because of the dividend. Dividend yield is 6.4%. They're going to make $1.42 this year, $1.58 a share next year on a $26 stock. So 6% of $26 is like $1.40, and they're going to make $1.58. So they can pay maintain that 6% dividend. They are making enough money. And sales recently have increased sharply, so I think it's sustainable. But the stock itself is not cheap. Even at $26, you're looking at $1.58 on a $26 stock. So you're looking at, what, 20 PE, 20-something PE, maybe 20 PE, and it's just not inexpensive. It's not. The average range is 14 to 28, so it's not cheap. It's not super expensive based on earnings next year, but don't think you're buying a bargain because the stock is going down. Went down from $29 a share here to $26, and people think, oh, it's going down. It must be cheap. Not yet. It's not cheap. Now, I'll say this. A lot of insiders were buying in late 2015, early 2016, when it was around $20 to $22 a share. There was a lot of insiders buying in that range. So if it went down another $4 or so, $5, that would be a very good price, probably. Meanwhile, I don't know if I would add, but I certainly wouldn't get out. I'm not sure why the last two or three days it has short-term problems, prices are going down, but I do think it's going to find support right around this number. Okay, EPD. E is in I, P is in Paul, D is in dog. EPD. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Americans, how is the average American doing when you compare with their peers around the world about saving for retirement? You've heard me complain about the low savings amount Americans have and how they're not really prepared for retirement. So there were surveys, a couple surveys. AARP and Transamerica have done a couple surveys, and they studied 14 different countries that are similar to us, in not necessarily size, but Western kind of economies and how people are saving. And guess who was number one? Us. We were. Isn't that surprising, right? India is doing pretty good. But when you look at globally, the United States, people gearing up for retirement are in better shape than almost everybody else. Their thinking is a bit different too, because they asked a question. Do you think the individual should be responsible for your retirement or the government? In the United States, 91% of Americans feel they are responsible for their own retirement. The average of all the other countries, only 73% feel that the individual is responsible for their own retirement. That might be because of the 401ks and the IRAs. Maybe they're doing their job. You know, government's not going to take care of you. You got to take care of yourself. Time's up for the hour, everybody. Before we go, a reminder, if you live in the San Jose area, I will be paying you a visit on July 18th. Reserve your hour for an individual portfolio review. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I can only do a limited number of these each month, so the next one is July 18th in San Jose, so make sure you sign up for it. Yeah, it can be by Skype and phone, too, so we can do it anywhere. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today. And let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.